And Lord, we bless you. We bless your holy name. We want to praise you for all your benefits, that you forgive all our iniquities. I praise you that you heal our diseases. Mm. You redeem our life from destruction.
Amen.
I praise you that you crown us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank you that you satisfy our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Wow, thank you for your promises, Lord. Bless Brother Chuck as he speaks. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you have studied this psalm at all, then you are aware of the fact that this is David's hallelujah chorus. This is a psalm of perfect praise. There are five attributes that are given, and there are 17 reasons in this psalm for praise. So here is the outpouring of heaven, thought, gratitude. And so I have been thinking about this for some time, and this idea of praise. Praise the Savior, we who know him. Who can tell how much we owe him? Gladly will we render to him all we are and have. If you looked at verses 1 through 7, we read 1 through 5. God's man, David, he's praising and praising and praising. And in this praise, you'll find there are five attributes for which a believer can offer praise as we come before the Lord. Notice verse 3, who forgiveth. You know what that is? That's full pardon with full satisfaction. That's the meaning of it. Notice the word iniquities. All our ingrained perversity, all the waywardness of our being. You see, one of Satan's titles is the accuser of the brethren. He hates God. He hates God's people. He hates God's work. And he looks for opportunities to accuse us before God's throne. He sifts us, our souls. He tells stories about us. He tells the truth about us, our failure. What happens when he appears before God, speaks as an accuser? He stopped at once. Because we have the greatest attorney in the universe, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God-man, the one who died upon the cross to save us from our sins by paying for the penalty of the sins of the whole world. And so, when he comes, Satan as an adversary, already having stepped up, is our Savior. Did you get that? Don't miss that. That's so important. He is our advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, look at his hands. They bear the marks. And it is said, when Satan says a word, we know all about what you're talking. It is all paid for. It is all forgiven. Your life, my life, we're such weak ones. We must admit such. But not only that, we must rejoice in the fact that when the Savior represents our case, he does so in a finality. And the wicked one is sent away even though he does return, but he is sent away. So there are no sins that are not covered by the blood of the one who has washed us clean. The Word of God tells us that the Word cleanses our thinking. Now, if anybody needs that, you're looking at him. Each day that comes and goes, I am tempted, I am tested, I am tried in areas that affect my thinking, and I must have the cleansing of the blessed book. Therefore, each morning, almost every morning for sure, but time, almost, it's 4 o'clock. And I'm thankful. I've never needed an alarm clock. All of my life, I've never needed one. I wake up, don't ask me how come. I don't know. But I do. I just wake up. I'll wake up at 3:45. I'll wake up at 4. Nearly always, never after 4. But that time spent from 4 to 6 before my wife gets up is spent in the book. And it is so precious. It is so good. It is so helpful. And then when I leave the house and do whatever I need to do, I have a straightening in my thinking. And I need a straightening in my thinking every single day, moment by moment. And so thank God that God forgives, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything that you face, when it gets to the place where your fellowship and your walking with God is so personal that you feel like you can almost touch Him. Now listen carefully. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Coronavirus. Did you get that? He is in charge. And He's never lost a case. Therefore, you and I bask in the sunlight of fellowship when we're right with God. So when you walk, it's almost as if you can touch Him. Now, I know you don't touch Him. He touches you. I know that. But it's almost as if you can. And the sweetness of it, the blessing of it, brings great blessing to my heart, to my life, moment after moment after moment. Look at verse 3 now, when He says, He who healeth all thy diseases. That chief reference here is to the soul. See, God never bestows forgiveness without granting a renewal. Did you get that? All right, with forgiveness, there is renewal, and by which the corruptions of our hearts are washed away. So, what is pride but lunacy? What is anger but uncontrolled fever? What is waywardness but weakness? I mean, what is lust but leprosy? What is laziness but creeping deadness? Sinful passions, they're the diseases of the soul. And God's forgiveness is accompanied by healing to cure the discrepancies of the heart. He He forgives and he heals. Verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. He redeems your life from going to waste. Pastor, on the island of Oahu, there is an area where they have international surfboard contests. And I was there with a friend of mine, and we were swimming out away from the shore with the air tanks. We were quite a ways out. And the waves were tempestuous. And we were down under. And suddenly I realized, after having been out there, it was getting difficult for me to breathe. So I touched my friend on the shoulder, and he looked through the face mask, and I pointed to myself like this. And so I started going up. And as I came up close to the surface, it was a little bit easier to breathe, not a lot. And I got up to the top, and little did I realize that when I laid out in a prone position in the water, face down, you can't get your head out of the water because of the resonator on the tank. So I couldn't get it up. And how dumb that I didn't know. All I had to do was roll over on my back. Because when you do that, there's enough oxygen still in the tank that keeps you afloat. But when you're face down, you can't get your head up. So I came up, and a wave came up, and I cried out. And I said, Lord, save me! And this wave washed me up on a coral reef. And I'm on my knees, and it cut my knees terrible, my feet, but it saved my life. Who did that? That's right. He saved me so that in the future I might serve him. And that thought comes to me when I have a tendency to waste time. That comes to me. And God has been so wonderfully good to me to keep me alive. And so sin has made paupers of us all. Our lives have been scarred and ruined and pawned for a pittance. But Jesus came into the pawn shop. And when he did, at Calvary, he paid the price of redemption. And what a price it was. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. At Calvary, he not only redeemed our souls from hell, but he redeemed our lives from destruction. And God has kept us day after day after day, and we can bless God for that. No wonder this is called a psalm of praise. I mean, here is redemption from many mortal dangers in this life and from eternal death and eternal hell. Look at the last part of verse 4. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. This is like our God taking us into the palace or into the throne room. And he's going to crown us the way he does everything else. Think of the morning of creation when God commanded the seas. He did not say, "Let the waters bring forth fish," period. He said, "Let the waters bring forth fish abundantly." Did you get that? Abundantly. And think of Moses and Miriam. And the Egyptian army had been washed away. And how did Moses put it? "The Lord has triumphed gloriously." That's what he said. So God is going to crown us in abundance. In abundance, bless God. Look at verse 5. "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He satisfieth thine old age with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." And he is so wonderful in this. Isn't it wonderful to be a happy old person? I know about that. And some of you, you're going to be there someday. Did you know that the devil has no happy old people? He doesn't. No. See, he does not have anything that's good. And God doesn't have anything that's bad. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, bless the Lord. And so, David, in his later years, he raises this psalm of praise to God. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." See, he was God's man. He was God's old man. He was God's happy old man, David. "Forgiveth, healeth, redeemeth, crowneth, satisfieth." This psalm is appropriate for all ages. This psalm ought to be rehearsed in the ears of a child. Pastors made much to do recently, thank God, about praise. Praise. Not only suited for all ages, but it's appropriate to all Christians. And it's applicable to all conditions. There's no petition, if you check this psalm, there's no petition that occurs throughout these 22 verses. It's all praise. It's the description of the wonders of grace. This is the example of steadfast obedience to the Word of God by a good man of God. You do remember, God calls this man David a man after God's own heart. You know, I'd love for that to be said of me. And I'd love for that to be said of you. Let me show you something in this brief message tonight. I have intentionally been brief with this, and it will give us more time, and I'm going to call on Pastor in a few minutes. Give us more time to pray. But could I encourage you to do something? The next time, I want to obey this myself. I want to do this myself. The next time that I have the tendency to complain, I don't miss this. Instead of complaining, praise God.
Amen.
Huh? Do you know that when you praise God, do you know that it has a healing effect?
Amen.
It does. Do you know that pain at its terrible height can be relieved by praising God? Now, that's not some kind of voodoo. That's a fact. Do you know that my emotional makeup, with all of its discrepancies, can be soothed and satisfied if I just praise God?
Amen.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
Did you know that my selfishness can be set aside if I just praise God? Did you know that my fault finding of another Christian can be laid aside if I just praise God? I'm afraid, Pastor, that in this rush culture, that we sometimes even find ourselves squeezed when it comes to praying, and even more negligent when it comes to praising. Our God is in charge of everything. Therefore, you don't have to be fearful about the coronavirus. Now, that doesn't take away the reality of it. But the fact is, you won't get it if God doesn't want you to get it. And if you get it, then God wants you to get it. And you're in the hand of God. So what is a coronavirus? If you're in the hand of God, I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds my future. It's a secret known only to Him. When I was a boy, 12 years old, I lived in a little incorporated town north of here called Mountain View. Has its own police force, its own mayor. And in those days, they had a racetrack, and the Offenhausers, which were the little carts with a motor, they would race on that asphalt. So my friend and I, I know you wouldn't believe I'd do this, but you could see through the fence. I mean, it was wooden. You could see, and look. So, we figured out how to get a board loose, and another board loose, and another board loose, and then get our bikes inside, so that we could ride on the asphalt. Now, you talk about fun, because that asphalt was as smooth as it could be. So here we are. My friend riding, I'm riding. We're racing down that track. Now, why would I do this? Who knows? I decided I'd push him off the track. So I come over like this, and my pedal goes in the spokes of his front wheel. What does that do? Oh, it sent me catapulting. And I came down right here. Right here. It's a wonder it didn't break my neck. You talk about split that wide open. It was wide. I mean, I bled like a, excuse me, stuck hog. I did. And by the time I got home, I mean, the blood was everywhere. Went to the doctor, got it all stitched up. And God redeemed me and kept me alive. When you're 85, you remember a lot of things. Yeah, you forget a lot of things too. But I remember the times of safety. So my question is this. What reason have I to complain about anything? None. See, it is a matter of praise. I want to tell you, and then Pastor will take charge. I praise the Lord that He saved me when He did. And I praise the Lord that He gave me the girl that He gave me. She is a treasure. And I praise the Lord that He called me to preach. And I praise the Lord that I've gotten to travel all over the world at someone else's expense. Not mine. And I praise the Lord for way back now, when we came to be with Dr. Ed at South Sheridan, we were there 23 years. I didn't mean to stay that long. He said to me, listen, stay with me. When I went to visit the first time, stay with me, and then when you want to leave, you can. I wanted to go on in evangelism. So I prayed about it. My wife and I prayed about it, and I stayed there, and I said to him in the beginning, I said, Pastor, you need to understand something. As far as I'm concerned, you're 10 feet tall. And he just looked at me. Never forget, sitting in the office. And I said, I mean it. Whatever you say, I'll do. Whatever you say. In the day that I can't agree with you, I won't have any problem. I'll just leave. I'll be gone. And he said, that's good. That's good enough. Okay, so the 23 years went by. But before that, I said to him one day, Pastor, I need to talk to you. We sat down and I said, you know, I told you that if ever anything came up, I said, I consider you 10 feet tall. And he looked at me and he got kind of a serious look. And I said, oh, yes, he said, I remember. Well, I just want you to know you're 11 feet tall. I thought he was going to choke me. But I mean, then it was that your present pastor left as a youth pastor and came here. And this was given. And so pastor became the pastor of this brand new work. He wasn't here any time at all. And I said to my wife, I said, you know, I would like to be a part of where Brother Scott is. And she said, I would too. I mean, just like that. So we came. Now, this is terrible. I didn't like him. Now, I loved his preaching. But I didn't like him personally. You say, how could that be? I don't know. But it wasn't long until I loved him. And the problem of not liking him was my problem, not his. And so one day up here in the foyer, one man that's now not with us, he was criticizing Pastor. I mean, just going to great means. And I finally said, "Are you through?" And he looked at me. I looked up. He looked down. And I said, "I find no fault with my pastor. Do you know why?" And I was a little bit ornery. He said, "Why?" "I'm not looking." You know what? It wasn't long after that he left us, Pastor. So you know what? My wife and I came, and now we've been here 25 years. Praise the Lord. See, so whatever's wrong with him, only you know it. So bless the Lord. Pastor, you take charge.